Welcome to Children of the 80s.
I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Jim. And if you are joining us for the first time, we are glad to have you here. And if you listened before, thank you for tuning in again. For those of you that don't know, this is a podcast that looks back on the decade of the 1980s. We talk about things that were important to us as children and what we look back on with fond memories as adults. Ultimately, this is a nostalgia podcast. We talk about movies, music, television, fads, commercials. And today we're talking about a fad.
We are.
A game. I mean, it was a game, but it really kind of became a fad, right?
Yeah, for sure a fad.
So what are we talking about today?
Today is all about Trivial Pursuit.
Yes. I love me some trivia.
Before we jump into Trivial Pursuit, can I talk a little bit about something that's been on my mind this week?
You were always on my mind.
Stop it. Stop it. It's so disrespectful. I have had the 1980s mall on my mind all week. Just yearning to go back.
To go back to a mall?
Yeah. To the 1980s mall.
With B. Dalton books?
B. Dalton, Julius Orange.
You mean Orange Julius?
No. In Atlanta.
Julius Caesar?
In Atlanta, it was Julius Orange. I think I know these things.
It was not.
So I have never been diagnosed, but there is some dyslexia over here in this brain.
Yes. I miss
Spencer's.
I miss the 80s mall as well. That's why we watch Stranger Things.
So I was also thinking about that. We found out, this was before the pandemic, that Stranger Things was filming at a somewhat closed down mall, not too far from us. And so we went over there and poked around and had fun that day.
And you guys got a little nervous when I crossed the line that I wasn't supposed to cross. Yeah. I was trying to climb onto set.
Yeah, I thought we were going to get kicked out. But that also gave me the warm fuzzies because it was the mall. It's totally, I think, shut down now. At the time that Stranger Things was using it, it was like
partially
three-fourths shut down. But it's the mall I grew up going to. So when I tell you I yearn for the mall of the 1980s, it's that mall.
I was just glad that they had a B. Dalton back there and a Spencer's and some of the other things that we missed. I think they had an arcade in there. Now, did you have an arcade in the mall at that time?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't think we did either, but man, I love me a good arcade.
Well, yeah,
1980s arcade.
Something you did over the weekend. You went and found yourself an old school arcade.
I found myself a retro arcade about 45 miles away, and it was totally worth the drive.
How much did it cost?
$15.
Okay, that's not bad.
I probably didn't pay $15 worth of games, but $15 was worth the memories.
The experience.
If you had turned my 12-year-old self over into a quarter arcade with $15 back in the day, I would have felt like I won the lottery.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would have, too.
Because if I could scrounge up even 50 cents, I was feeling pretty good about myself. But usually, if there was just one quarter, I was grabbing it and going.
Which is better? The traditional stand-up Pac-Man or the
cocktail table
Pac-Man?
For me, it's the stand-up, but that's just because that's what I grew up with. But I wouldn't argue with someone who was like, no, the cocktail.
So the cocktail table for me, because that's what they had at Pizza Hut.
At Pizza Hut, yeah, I knew that's where you were going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then that also, though, makes me long for the days of Kmart.
Kmart didn't have an arcade.
No, but they had those little quarter rides.
Yeah, those iron horses.
Yes. I begged to ride one.
It was the steel horse that Bon Jovi rides when he's wanted dead or alive.
It would get so hot, it'd burn your little legs in the summer.
Yes, and you'd cry but still ride it with a smile on your face.
With dignity.
Yes.
Or sometimes it would be like a little car like maybe 2-3 little cars that would go in a little tiny circle.
Yes.
I just miss the simplicity of those days.
The simplistic fun that we had that children of other decades after look back on and go, how could you have possibly had any fun doing something like that?
I know, because going back to the mall, so you'd get, well, I mean, you didn't, I'm sure, but I'd get all dressed up. Like, you'd have to, like, pick your outfit out and do your tease your hair. My bangs had to be big. Like, it was a whole production.
Yes, I remember. And then you I didn't tease my hair, but
I thought you went in your green jeans. Did you go to the mall in your green jeans?
My green jeans.
I thought you told me you had some green blue jeans that your mom made you wear and you were embarrassed by them.
They were jeans.
What were they?
They were corduroys.
Oh, corduroys. Yeah. But when I was younger and we would go to the mall, I always throw a penny in the fountain.
Yes.
There was always some kind of like water scene. Big plants. In a fountain and water. And
probably because they knew the aliens from Signs were coming and the mall was where we were all going to meet up.
Right. Yeah, so that's what's been on my mind.
Our planet.
It's cavernous up here.
It is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I miss malls too. I miss 80s malls. I don't miss malls in general.
Well,
I have a couple of malls around that I don't go to.
Yeah, I don't want to go to the mall now.
No, because there's no more B. Dalton books.
Oh, Jim, what if we created an 80s mall, and like it was a whole experience.
Like we would charge people to come to it?
Yes.
Do you think if we built it, they will come?
Of course.
All right. I don't know about that, but
so my dream has always been to build an exact replica of the Golden Girls house. And have it as like an Airbnb.
Oh.
So maybe we could do that kind of with a mall. Not an Airbnb, but it could be like an attraction, like a go spend the day kind of place.
What if we built a treehouse out in our backyard as a replica of the Golden Girls house and we used that as an Airbnb?
A treehouse?
A treehouse. It's a Golden Girls treehouse Airbnb.
What if we did the treehouse from the Goldbergs?
I don't think that's pulling people in.
Okay, because that's about all we have room for.
All right, so you mentioned earlier that we are talking Trivial Pursuit today. And I'm assuming because this was your idea that you have all the details, all the history.
Listen.
All the statistics,
everything. Don't assume anything with me.
Well, that's fair point.
I got a little something I'm going to play for you before we get started.
Would my esteemed colleague kindly repeat the question?
Gladly, Senator. What time does Wee Willie Winky run through the town?
Trivial Pursuit. It's more than a game. It's a national obsession. It's here.
Big Bird!
It's there. It's everywhere. And the fun keeps coming. Trivial Pursuit. Because every American is entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of trivia, from South Show and Writer.
It was a 1985 Trivial Pursuit TV commercial.
That's interesting. I do not remember that commercial.
Me either. But something told me today. Just search and see if there was one. And
I was going to say there had to be some because otherwise, how would we know about it? Right. It had to become a fad for some reason. So I remember. Well, I'll let you get into it, but I just remember this becoming a thing. Nobody had ever heard of it. And then all of a sudden, like, my parents were always hanging out with their friends, and they were always having, you know, game nights or whatever. And usually it was just them playing cards. But then at one point, cards turned into Trivial Pursuit. And I was just, like, sitting there watching them, like, fascinated. Because I wanted to know how anybody would know these answers.
Right. So the exact same thing with my parents, only I wondered then and I wonder now, why in the world would anybody waste their time playing Trivial Pursuit?
I can understand you wondering it then because you were a kid, and I understand you wondering it now because we have the internet And so we have all these things.
Yeah.
But back then, these would have been interesting, like, factoids that, unless you just knew it, how else would you know, right?
Okay. So let me, I've got so much here. Let me get started.
Okay, yeah.
And then I want to tell you, I asked ChatGPT why people loved Trivial Pursuit in the 80s. So in a little while, I'm going to read you what it told me.
Okay.
Because I don't understand, and I still don't understand. But anyways, let me back up and let me tell you a little bit about how it got started.
So are you saying you wouldn't get friends together nowadays and play Trivial Pursuit?
No. Then? No.
I would.
It was the board game Time Magazine called the biggest phenomenon in game history.
History.
Trivial Pursuit was first conceived in 1979 by Chris Haney and Scott Abbott. At the time, Haney worked as a photo editor at the Montreal Gazette, and Abbott was a sports journalist for the Canadian Press. Haney also, ironically, was a high school dropout, who later joked that he only regretted not dropping out sooner. The pair were playing a game of Scrabble when they decided to invent their own game. So they came up with the basic concept of Trivial Pursuit within just a few short hours. It took them, though, until 1981 to get it commercially released. They raised their initial funding by selling 5 shares in the company for as little as $1,000. It was not but just a matter of a couple of years. Those initial investors received a 5-figure check.
Wow.
For their initial investment.
For their $1,000 mm-hmm. investment.
They paid an 18-year-old unemployed artist named Michael Wurstlin to create the final artwork for Trivial Pursuit in exchange for 5 shares of the company. So, 1981, Trivial Pursuit was trademark registered. In that same month, 1,100 copies were first distributed in Canada because they're Canadian. The first copies of Trivial Pursuit were sold at a loss as the manufacturing cost for the first boards came to a whopping $75 per game.
In 1981 money?
Yes.
Whoa.
And the game was sold to retailers for $15. That's crazy money for then.
You're losing money.
Yes.
Like tons of money.
Yes. Trivial Pursuit was licensed to a major U.S. game manufacturer and distributor in 1983. So the manufacturers then financed what would be a successful public relations effort, and soon Trivial Pursuit became a household name. In 1984, they sold a record 20 million games in the U.S., and retail sales reached nearly, drumroll, $800 million.
Wow. In 1 year, $800 million in 1983
money. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
The rights to the game were licensed to Parker Brothers in 1988 before Hasbro bought the rights in 2008. Reportedly, the first 32 investors were able to live comfortably off the annual royalties for life. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy. I'd like to live comfortably for life off of some royalties.
In December of 1993, Trivial Pursuit was named to the Games Hall of Fame by Games Magazine.
In what year?
1993.
So it wasn't even around that long before it was mm-hmm. named to the Hall
yep.
of Fame?
Yep. By 2014, more than 50 special editions of Trivial Pursuit had been released.
Nice.
So, and I'm going to tick through the list of the special games. Do you want me to do that next?
Yeah, but before you move along, let's talk about 1981 a little bit.
Tell me.
Here are some of the things that were going on in 1981 as Trivial Pursuit is trying to get off the ground. President Reagan is sworn in for his first term, and at the same time, 52 American hostages were released from captivity after 444 days in Iran. Our relations with Iran have improved since then, and they're so much better now.
Yeah.
Millions of Polish workers go on strike in support of a five-day work week. Can you believe that in 1981, they were working more than 5 days
in Poland? Yes, I can believe
that. Yes, they were like the Beatles. They were working 8 days a week. After addressing a labor convention, President Reagan is shot in the chest by would-be assassin John Hinckley.
I remember that.
I remember that as well. The world's first reusable spacecraft, dubbed the Space Shuttle, named Columbia, completes its first orbital flight. I remember that as well. My dad took me to see it. Not up in space.
I was going to say, how did he take you to see it?
He took me to see it. It was like on tour or something. Pope John Paul II is shot in St. Peter's Square by a Turkish terrorist.
Oh, gosh.
He survived as well. Prince Charles and Lady Diana are wed in 1981.
Man. That didn't end well.
Sandra Day O'Connor is the first woman appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Sandra from 227?
Is it Sandra?
Yes.
All right. Sandra Day O'Connor. Walter Cronkite leaves CBS after 19 years and is replaced by Dan Rather.
We saw something with Dan Rather last night on Netflix.
You and couldn't I'm like, believe he was still alive.
I mean, he's like 100. He's still going.
A new disease begins appearing.
AIDS?
Yes. AIDS. And they don't call it that then, yeah. Right? They discover later on that it's AIDS. In sports, the Los Angeles Dodgers beat the New York Yankees 4-2. In 1981, my dad was wrong on that prediction because he thought the Yankees would win in 5. The San Francisco 49ers win the Super Bowl, and it's actually the 1981 season, but that actually didn't happen until January of 1982 by defeating the Cincinnati Bengals 26-21 in the Silverdome, and that is the first Super Bowl that I ever watched.
1981.
Yeah, just parts of it. I didn't watch the whole thing. But no, well, 1982, but it was the 1981 season. Yeah. Super Bowl 16. In basketball, the Boston Celtics won the NBA championship by beating the Houston Rockets 4-2. In hockey, the New York Islanders won the Stanley Cup by beating the now-defunct Minnesota North Stars, which I still wish was around, 4-1.
Now, why do you wish they were still around?
Just because, I mean, Minnesota has a team now. It's called the Wild, but the Minnesota North Stars are like a classic, like, old-school hockey team, and they were in the Norris Division with my St. Louis Blues, along with the Blackhawks, the Red Wings, and the Maple Leafs. And boy, there were some heated rivalries back then.
So there are two things that I have struggled to adjust to being married to a Yankee.
I am not a Yankee.
Your love of hockey and your family's love of hockey.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with it. It's just very different. Strange to me. Mm-hmm. And your love of fake cheese.
Fake cheese? Are you talking about Provel cheese?
Yes.
It's not fake.
Oh, it's fake.
It's a combination.
It tastes like fake cheese.
No, it is awesome. Do you like Emo's Pizza?
I try to.
No.
I try to.
That you are looking across the table at me right in my eyes, and you are lying to me.
So the first time I had it, you I'm like, not. This is, like, nasty.
I said the same thing.
And then I went, 14 years, 13 years, and didn't have it, and I had it again last summer.
And you liked it so much that you wanted me to get it again during the
that's
trip.
That's true. That's true. I would also venture to guess I was not myself that trip.
So don't look me in the eyes and lie to me that you...
I went around wearing shorts on that trip. I was not myself.
So you can call it fake cheese or made up cheese. It is real cheese. It's just something that we made in St. Louis ourselves. And we put it on our famous Emo's Pizza, which anybody from the Midwest or at least St. Louis knows what I'm talking about. And that is some good quality stuff, just like ice hockey. All right, go on with your go on with the chlorophyll.
So let me tell you a few of the most popular Trivial Pursuit editions.
Okay.
Okay.
So what was the first edition before you ever start that, or are you going to get to that?
The very first edition is called... Well, my eyesight's really bad. Master Game Genus Edition?
Yes.
Not Genius.
Right, but when I was a kid, I thought it said Genius because the questions were so impossibly hard to me
I thought
it was Genius.
It would need to be Genius. what is, I don't, Master Game Genus Edition. What's Genus?
I don't know. I mean, do you want me to look it
up? Is it Guinness? Like, is it beer?
It's not the beer edition. That is not how you spell Guinness.
Okay, so let me tell you some of the most popular. You ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to just tick through these.
Okay.
The 40th Anniversary Ruby Edition, which was released 2018.
Oh, cool.
Trivial Pursuit for Kids, the Nickelodeon Edition.
Okay.
The Rick and Morty Edition.
I mean, this got to be new, right? Like,
yes. The Star Trek 50th Anniversary Edition.
Oh, jeez.
Trivial Pursuit Bet You Know It Edition.
Bet I do.
The Beatles Edition.
Okay.
Star Wars The Black Series Edition.
All right, now we're talking.
Trivial Pursuit Hints. That's what I would need. I would need the hints. Trivial Pursuit, the 2000s edition. Trivial Pursuit, Warner Brothers edition. Trivial Pursuit, Friends, the TV series.
Okay, that would be fun.
Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas edition.
No, not my thing.
Oh, here you go. Here you go. Classic Rock edition.
Yes, now we're talking.
Horror Movie edition.
Now we're talking
again. Family edition.
Family Feud Edition?
Just Family.
Okay.
Harry Potter Ultimate Edition.
Okay, now I'm not going to do well on that.
The Lord of the Rings.
Nope, too nerdy.
Trivial Pursuit Greatest Hits. So it combines the 80s, 90s, and pop culture.
Now that...
That would be up your alley.
I think that we need to get together with some of our like-minded podcast friends... And have a battle royale of 80s, 90s, and pop culture.
Oh, I love Trivial that. Pursuit. I love that. Let me host. I don't want to play because I'm not smart enough. The Rolling Stones edition.
Like the magazine or the band?
I don't know. Country music. Now that I could do.
Okay. You might do well on that one.
Last but not least, Trivial Pursuit Mini Pack. Hollywood Flicks.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay.
That sounds fun.
So listen,
those weren't any of the editions that I saw. Like they had like edition packs, like additional packs that you would just get like the little cards that went along with the original game, right?
Well, correct. So we have some here. So when we cleaned my parents' house out a couple of years ago, my mom still had the original board game, the beer edition.
The beer edition.
The genius edition.
Oh.
The blue box.
Yes.
And then she had, three additional sets of cards?
Yes.
She had the baby boomer edition, all-star sports, and then...
The silver screen edition.
The silver screen edition.
And when we had a garage sale, unfortunately, somebody didn't buy the baby boomer. Instead, they bought the silver screen edition.
And now you're like...
I'm kind of bummed.
Kicking yourself.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed.
So, I went through the box just now before we started to record. Look, here is the little, I'm going to take a picture of this and put it on social media. The little, like, Ziploc bag that the playing pieces came in. Little Ziploc bag with a little Trivial Pursuit, like, logo on it.
Right.
And look at these little these little pie pieces. If you look on the back, they've got, like, the blue from the board on them. Like, my parents
played. They must have played the tar out of that game.
They played this game. You see that?
You know what? I wish I had known your parents in
the 80s
and 90s.
Look at that. Look at the yellow. You can really see the yellow, how they slid it across that board.
Your parents would have been my friends in the 80s and
90s. I mean, they were, a barrel full of monkeys.
I mean, they were old and tired by the time I met them and sick.
Very sickly. Okay, so let me give you a little bit about how to play. Can I tell you a little bit about how to play?
Yes.
Okay.
Go over the rules.
Trivial Pursuit is a board game in which winning is determined by a player's ability to answer trivia. There's my first problem. And popular culture questions. Players move their pieces around a board. The squares they land on determines the subject of a question that they're asked from a card. And the card has six categories on it. Each correct answer allows the player's turn to continue. A correct answer on one of the six category headquarter spaces earns a little plastic wedge, which is then slotted into the answer's playing piece. The object of the game is to collect all six wedges. So basically, you fill up your pizza pie.
Right.
And then after you fill it up, then you have to return to the center hub space to answer a question in the category selected by the other players.
Yes.
Did I do okay in summing it up? Because I didn't want to get in the weeds.
No, you did pretty good in summing up. And I can just say that as a kid, whenever I played, anytime I rolled, if I could either get to roll again or to orange, which was sports and leisure, I felt like that was a win. And if I could get my orange piece of pie, I would declare the game over because there was no way I was winning any other piece of the pie.
The only thing as a child that I liked about this game was when my parents would, like, earn a little piece of the pie. I always wanted to be the one to put it in the little slot.
Okay, so you would sit around and watch them play.
Sometimes.
Okay.
I would come and go.
Yeah.
But that, to me, that was the only good part, was, like, let me fit that little pie piece into the little holder.
I was probably the annoying kid that wanted to hang around the adults and listen and play, and they were probably like, get out of here, kid. You're bothering us.
Okay, so my question is, what was the appeal? Because I don't think Trivial Pursuit... Listen, and maybe I'm wrong. This is not something that, like, I am, like, stuck on my opinion that I am correct. But I don't understand the appeal of it. And I certainly don't think that it would carry over into today. So that's... I asked ChatGPT.
Before you read off what ChatGPT says, can I give my opinion?
Yes, of course.
I think people have a lot of pride, and they like to show off their obscure knowledge. And so if you could best your friend in some kind of obscure knowledge, then it was fun. So that's just my opinion. I'm still like that to this day. I like to show off my obscure knowledge. I had to school the people at work about the circumference of the earth.
Oh, God.
Because they were like, how much is the circumference of the earth? And I'm like, it's about 24,000 miles. And they were like, no way. That's either way too little or way too much. And I'm like, okay, let's Google it and look it up. You know what the circumference of the earth is? 24,901 miles.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So let me tell you what ChatGPT told me. Trivial Pursuit struck a chord with a generation hungry for intellectual stimulation and social interaction. Its release coincided with the rise of pop culture trivia and the emergence of pub quiz nights, fostering a newfound fascination with random facts and historical tidbits. The game transcended demographics, appealing to families, friends, and even celebrities, who reveled in its blend of education and entertainment. Trivial Pursuit became synonymous with gatherings, sparking conversations, debates, and laughter as players vied to demonstrate their mastery of trivia across diverse subjects.
Well, there you go.
I mean, it kind of summed it up.
It did. So let me ask you this. You didn't understand Trivial Pursuit, and you still may not. Do you understand Jeopardy? Like, do you understand the appeal of Jeopardy?
I do, but to me, it's a niche market because I'm not going on Jeopardy.
Nor am I.
I wouldn't sit and watch Jeopardy. Now, because I married into the Butler family, I do sit and watch Jeopardy. But, like, my parents would sit and play Trivial Pursuit. Like, they chose to do that. I don't understand that. They were just average people.
I choose.
My dad was a blue-collar guy.
I choose to play Trivial Pursuit on Friday nights now with friends. That is what I choose. That is the direction that this family is going forward with. We are going to play Trivial Pursuit with friends on Friday nights.
Oh, no. I may have to start working late. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Do you want some more fun facts from 1981 before you move along?
Yes, I do.
All right. Let me give you what's one of your favorite subjects that we do here on Children of the 80s?
Music.
Yes. So let me give you some music highlights of 1981. The Sony Walkman Pocket Stereo becomes popular with millions of music fans on the go. Music stars Linda Ronstadt, Rex Smith, Donny Osmond, Debbie Boone, and Cher, among others, appear in Broadway shows in New York. While touring in the United States, Eric Clapton is hospitalized for bleeding ulcers.
Oh, no.
Eddie Van Halen marries actress Valerie Bertinelli, and Ringo Starr weds actress Barbara Bach. Yes, Wings and Steely Dan all disband.
Oh, yes, comma,
yes,
Wings.
Correct.
Comma, correct. Steely Dan.
Correct. Laurel Massey leaves the Manhattan Transfer and is replaced by Cheryl Benteen. Bruce Springsteen plays the newly opened Brendan Byrne Arena at East Rutherford in the Meadowlands of New Jersey. On Saturday, August 1st, MTV goes on the air with its very first video, which is...
Radio Killed the Video Star.
Yes, you said that wrong. By the Cell Gubs. Video so, Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles.
I did that on purpose. Let me just clarify. Yes. I know I just said I was dyslexic.
Diana Ross leaves Motown Records for RCA for a reported $18 million.
Wow.
For the first time in years, Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel reunite for a concert in New York's Central Park. The album of the concert would earn them yet another platinum record. In the fall, the Rolling Stones do a 10-city tour of the United States, and Kenny Rogers becomes the top-selling artist of the year. That's your boy, Kenny Rogers.
Those are some good facts.
Yep. Isn't that fun? All right.
Some fun facts.
What else you got?
The creators of Trivial Pursuit did run into a few issues along the way. In 1984, they dealt with a lawsuit by the author of the Trivia Encyclopedia. He filed a $300 million lawsuit against the distributors, claiming that more than a quarter of the questions in the game's initial Blue Box edition had been taken from his books. Even to the point of reproducing typographical errors and deliberately placed misinformation that had been in the book was placed into the Blue Box game. So, for example, one of the questions in Trivial Pursuit was, what was Columbo's first name? With the answer being Philip. That information had been fabricated to catch anyone who might try to violate his copyright.
Oh, wow. So I wonder where you get this information then if you're not getting it from some kind of encyclopedia.
The inventors of Trivial Pursuit acknowledged that this book was among their sources, but argued that it was not improper and that facts are not protected by copyright. So the district court judge agreed, ruling in favor of the Trivial Pursuit inventors. The decision was appealed. And in 1987, I get kind of nerdy with the legal stuff, so sorry. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit upheld the ruling, saying that you can't copyright
facts
and trivia. So
you know what that is? Them's facts.
Them's is facts. So, in 1994, there was another lawsuit by someone who claimed that he was hitchhiking in 1979, and one of the creators of Trivial Pursuit picked him up. And while they were riding in the car, he shared with the Trivial Pursuit guy his idea for this board game. And then, lo and behold, he claims... the Trivial Pursuit guy stole his idea, but obviously no way to prove that.
I mean, so. People just want, they just want their greedy little hands on somebody else's money, don't they?
Mm-hmm. So finally that did, but that didn't resolve until 2007. Started in 1994.
That's kind of insane.
That is ridiculous.
There's no way he can prove that. No, unless he has a video or audio of him getting picked up. Like, there's no way. Like, the judge should have kicked that out
immediately.
Immediately.
I'm telling you, some of these legal things drag on and on and on. Listen to this fun fact, though. The original game had 6,000 questions printed on 1,000 cards. That's a lot of information. You're going to have to take it from somewhere.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to be able to just pull that off the top of your head.
No.
So.
I would agree. I bet they spent a lot of time in the library researching stuff.
I mean, and they spent a lot on legal fees, too.
So, do they have, like, what the categories are?
Mm-hmm. For the Genesis edition, geography.
Which is what color?
Blue.
Okay.
The original. Geography, entertainment.
Which is what color?
Wait, I'm sorry. What?
The I want blue you to box. I know. I want you to name the colors of the squares that coincide.
I didn't know that that was that important. But yes, I will give that to you now that I understand.
Yes.
Put your Hulk hands down. Okay. The Genesis edition is the blue box. Geography is blue. Entertainment is pink. History is yellow. Art and literature is brown. Science and nature is green. Sports and leisure is orange.
I tried to stay away from the brown and green as much as possible. The other ones I might get lucky on. The orange, I had about a 17 to 21% chance of getting it right.
So, All-Star Sports Edition. Blue, nicknames. Pink, football. Yellow, catch-all. Brown, basketball. Green, baseball. Orange, numbers.
No hockey.
Okay, the Baby Boomer edition. Blue, TV. Pink, stage and screen. Yellow, nightly news. Brown, publishing. Green, lives and times?
Lives and times.
Lives and times. That's the title to this episode.
Lives and times.
Totally confused people. Orange, RPM. What does that mean?
Revolution per minute?
I don't know. Oh, gosh. Okay. I have no idea. Okay. Well, so initially, when the first blue box edition came out, they also released the silver screen edition, baby boomer edition, all-star sports, and Young Players Edition.
See, I wanted to play the Young Players Edition. Now I would like it if they came out with a, just a sports edition. I would also like it if they came out with an 80s edition.
Now that would be fun.
All right.
So
I got some more fun facts for you for 1981. You want to know the top singles of 1981?
I'd love it.
How about Arthur's Theme by Christopher Cross. That's one of your favorites.
Ugh.
You know what to do if you get caught between the moon and New York City. Betty Davis Eyes by
Good
Tim Carnes.
Song.
Celebration by Kool and the Gang.
Uh-huh.
My often maligned Endless Love by Diana Ross and Lionel Richie. Jesse's Girl by
Good song.
Rick Springfield.
Emmy's favorite.
Starting Over by John Lennon, or you could say parentheses, just like Starting Over by John Lennon.
All about those parentheses.
A Kiss on My List by Hall & Oates. Morning Train by Sheena Easton.
I love that song. What a fun song.
Physical by Olivia Newton-John.
Mm-hmm.
And Rapture by Blondie.
Those are some really good songs.
Except for Rapture and Endless Love.
Oh,
those are terrible.
Stop it with the Endless Love hate. Do you have anything about movies?
I do. So, there are movies featuring a pop music soundtrack, American Pop, and made-for-television movies about pop music performances, Elvis and the Beauty Queen, starring Don Johnson. Other popular movies of 1981, Absence of Malice, Arthur, Bustin' Loose, Chariots of Fire, Friday the 13th, Part 2. The Gods Must Be Crazy.
Mm-hmm, I remember.
On Golden Pond. Mm-hmm. It's about old people. Porky's. I knew that would make you laugh. The Postman Always Rings Twice. Ragtime. One of the greatest movies of the 80s. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Reds. S period O period B period. Or S-O-B. And then something called Thief, which I've never heard of. The Academy Award winners in 1981 were Henry Fonda as Best Actor for On Golden Pond, Katharine Hepburn for Best Actress of On Golden Pond. What do you think the best picture was that year?
Porky's.
Chariots of Fire.
Yeah.
And then the best original song was The Best That You Can Do, Arthur's theme.
Ugh.
That song was actually written by Burt Bacharach.
Yeah.
And others. So, top television shows in 1981 were the ABC Monday Night Movie, which is kind of funny. Alice. And because I like to rhyme, Dallas. The Dukes of Hazzard.
Of course.
One of your favorites, The Jeffersons.
Yes.
Joni Loves Chachi.
Oh, wow.
I can't believe that was popular.
It just rode on the coattails of Happy Days.
Yes. MASH.
Ugh.
60 Minutes, Three's Company, and Too Close for Comfort, which I cannot believe was a top television show of any year.
Wasn't it? It was a syndicated show, wasn't it?
I thought so, but...
So I just want to do an episode, I think we've mentioned this, just on syndicated shows of the 80s.
Yes.
Because there were some good ones.
And there were some bad ones.
Well, sometimes the bad ones were the good ones.
I would call the syndicated shows of the 80s, we would call that episode The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Uh-huh. The Good, the Bad, and the Monroe.
No, because then that makes it sound like you're calling Monroe ugly.
No, and I'm not. I'm not at all. So, done a little something over here.
What do you got?
I'm shuffling some cards.
I think I know what that means.
Are you ready?
All right, so I guess we're going to play a little game.
Huh? We're going to play a little game.
All right, folks, play along at home if you'd like. See if you can out-guess the trivia guesser guy.
I've pulled a couple from the original.
Okay.
From the Baby Boomer. And then from the All-Star Sports, where would you like to start, Mr. Butler?
Let's start with the original, because there's no way I'm going to get the Baby Boomer, and I don't want to start out bad. So let's start with the original, and I want to finish strong with the sports. I feel like that might be my best shot at not looking like an idiot.
What's Dennis the Menace's last name?
I don't think it's Dennis Miller. I'm going to go with Miller.
Mitchell. So, okay, not bad.
Now, you got to tell me the categories. You can't just blurt something out.
I didn't know. I mean, really, is that going to make that big of a difference?
Yeah, it is, because I got to get my mind prepared.
Art and literature is what that was.
Okay.
We're now jumping to history.
Okay.
Who was Richard Nixon's chief of staff during the final days of Watergate?
Dick Cheney.
Alexander Haig.
Okay.
I love this. Geography.
Okay.
What two countries are linked by the Brenner Pass?
I've never even heard of the Brenner. Yul Brenner? I'm going to say Russia and the United States.
Austria and Italy.
Okay.
I'm throwing you a bone. Entertainment. Who is C-3PO's sidekick?
R2-D2. You know, you can read each question off each card if you want, you know, so you're not cherry picking over.
I'm cherry picking. I'm cherry picking.
Because I'd like some sports and leisure, please.
Okay. Sports and leisure. How many letters long must a word be to collect first move bonus points in Scrabble crossword game?
7.
2.
Nobody likes Scrabble anyway.
Science and Nature.
Oh, yeah. I'm
going to get this one. What creative genius said, everything comes to him who hustles while he waits?
Pete Rose.
Thomas Edison. Who's the smart one now, Jim Butler? Okay.
I told you, not me.
I'm going to go with geography. What country is Mount Everest in?
It is in Nepal.
Good job. You only know that because of Disney.
That is not false.
Okay, I'm going to do one more from this one. Okay, here we go. Entertainment. Who played Reagan McNeil in The Exorcist?
Linda Blair.
Good job. I mean, I feel like you just needed a chance to warm up. Well,
see, I think like you're giving up on me too early. Like, I feel like you should read, like, give me a full card and let's see how many I can get on.
Okay, I'm going to give you a full card.
Give me a full card here.
Full card. Here we go. You ready?
Tell me the categories.
Geography. What country has 100 lepta to the drachma?
Is it some kind of dance or something? I feel like we're doing the safety dance now.
What?
The country that men without hats come from.
What country has 100 lepta to the drachma?
Pakistan.
Greece.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Okay, entertainment.
It's all Greek to me.
Who portrayed Washington Post executive editor Benjamin Bradley in All the President's Men?
Dustin Hoffman.
Jason Robards. Oh. Who ordered the Saturday Night Massacre? This is history.
I know who ordered the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. The Saturday Night Massacre. Al Capone.
Richard Nixon.
I mean, he got people killed?
Art and literature. What James Dickey novel tells the story of an ill-fated canoe trip?
Song of the South? The Jungle Book.
Deliverance.
Oh, gosh.
Science and Nature. What's Valentina Tereshkova's claim to fame?
Ballet.
She was the first woman in space.
Oh.
Sports and leisure.
Man, I'm dumb.
What are the only three countries to have challenged the U.S. for yachting's America's Cup?
I got to name three of them?
Uh-huh.
Do I get bonus points if I get some of them? Australia.
Yes.
South Africa.
No.
The U.K.
Britain.
Well, that's, yeah. Who was the third?
Canada.
Oh, okay.
So, here's my point. Listen, and I'm not disparaging my parents, but my dad was a fireman. My mom was a hairdresser. This was fun to them? This is like Big Bang Theory type questions. Okay,
No. Do one card of the baby boomer.
Okay, we're jumping over to the baby boomers edition. I'm not going to cherry pick. I'm going to stick with one card. Okay, starting off with people and places. Who lived at 518 Crestview Drive, Beverly Hills?
So this would have been Sergeant Joe Friday.
The Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, of course.
This next one is...
All I could think of was Dylan and Brenda.
The next one, it's going to be Good Times. No. I'm so
Jimmy sorry. Walker.
I'm so sorry.
Dynamite.
I have messed up. Let me, as you can figure out, the one we just did was television. I misspoke. I said people and places. It's TV. This is stage and screen. What revolutionary musical beat out Hair for the Tony at 1969's as 1969's best?
Phantom of the Opera.
1776.
Oh, revolutionary. Duh.
Okay, nightly news. Who said, I want to thank my predecessor for all he has done to heal our land?
John Kennedy.
Jimmy Carter. The next one is publishing. What novel opened with, what can you say about a 25-year-old girl who died?
The saddest novel of all time?
Love story.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, the next one is Lives and Times. What school subject did Art Garfunkel teach after briefly leaving show business?
Poetry.
Math.
Really?
Okay, this is RPM. It
should be RIP.
What folk group had the number 2 and number 3 albums of 1963?
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yes.
I knew I'd get one. 1 out of 6 ain't good, as Meatloaf sang.
Now, for our grand finale, we are going to do one whole card from the All-Star Sports Edition. Okay, starting out with nicknames. What Cardinals and Dodgers star was known for shortish homers dubbed moonshots?
Wally Boone.
Good job. The next one is football. What former NFL and AFL defensive back chronicled his career in a book titled Confessions of a Dirty Player?
Dick Night Train Lane.
Johnny Sample. The next one is catch-all. What one-time star of the Slopes owns a ski shop in his hometown? Oh, dear Lord. A Val.
You don't even have to finish it. I don't know anything about skiing.
In France. It is Jean-Claude Killy.
Yeah, that's not a fair question. We're replacing that question with something else.
Basketball. Skiing. Who's the New York Knicks all-time leading scorer?
Well, when was this written?
In the early 80s.
So it wouldn't have been Patrick Ewing. Willis Reed.
I'll give you one more.
Walt Frazier.
Yes. This next one is baseball. What Chicago Cubs second baseman, National League Rookie of the Year 1962, was killed in Provo, Utah on February 15th, 1964?
Oh my gosh. I have no idea.
Ken Hubbs. This last one
I was going to go with Ryan Sandberg until you said killed.
last one is called numbers. How many NBAers hit 900 or better from the free throw line in the 81-82 season?
4.
0.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wah, wah, wah.
Well, folks,
did that go how you had thought it would go?
I hope that you enjoyed me looking like a fool on this show.
Did you think you would do better?
I did. We're going to rename this show from Trivial Pursuit to Jim's a Fool. This episode.
That's why when we talked about this, I was like, I'm not doing it because I'm not going to make myself look like an idiot. I mean, that's why I don't. Now, do you understand why I don't get the appeal?
Yes, I totally get why you don't get the appeal.
You totally get why I don't get the appeal.
I get it.
Okay, where are you going? What are you doing? What's that?
I am breaking out a game.
Oh, that's not fair. What have you got?
Called the 80s game.
Okay.
How much do you remember?
Well, I mean, if it's all on memory, not much.
So, this would be a little bit like Trivial Pursuit, only it's about the 80s. So, let me pull out a card for you here. So this picture becomes the first player in 20 years to be ejected from a Major League Baseball game for throwing an illegal spitball.
You know you have to read everything twice to me.
This picture became the first player in 20 years to be ejected from a Major League Baseball game for throwing an illegal spitball.
I don't know.
I bet it's Gaylord Perry. It is
Gaylord Perry. Oh, of course you would know that.
This duo records a double album during an outdoor concert in New York that is attended by an estimated 400,000 fans.
Simon and Garfunkel.
The answer is Simon and Garfunkel. The movie, this movie premieres and is based on the real life story of a plutonium plant worker who uncovers a secret U.S. government plot to illegally sell nuclear materials to other countries.
I don't know.
Silkwood.
I've never heard of it.
Finally, Nickelodeon begins airing You Can't Do That on Television, a Canadian variety show where cast members are slimed when they say these three words.
I don't know because I didn't have cable as a kid.
You would have just got slimed.
I don't know. Oh! That should be the title of this episode.
The 80s game would be much, much more fun.
Yes, it would be.
Than Trivial Pursuit.
Yes. Here's what I want to do with these Trivial Pursuit cards, mm-hmm. with your permission. Burn them in our fire pit out back.
After I stomp on them.
Perfect. Yes, I think we have a Friday night bonfire. Invite everybody over.
I now declare that Friday nights is going to be the 80s game with friends.
Awesome. I love it.
All right. Well, I learned a lot about Trivial Pursuit. Number one, mostly being that I'm an idiot.
Okay. Now, do you think, having gone over this, that a hitchhiker could, or some random hitchhiker could have come up with all of these?
No.
And this, even this concept? I don't think so.
I mean, maybe he had an idea of, hey, I'd like to make a game with trivia questions. I mean, but who hasn't had that idea? I mean, that's not original. What's original is coming up with it.
Right.
And they did a good job. I mean, they sold $800 million in 1 year.
I mean, good for them.
I wish I had invested that $1,000 right? back then.
Right? So.
But it's like that movie Frequency that you love with Dennis Quaid and Jim Caviezel. When Jim Caviezel goes back and tells the little, you know, his mm-hmm. little friend, mm-hmm. Yahoo.
Yep.
Hey, just Yahoo.
Mm-hmm. I love that movie, but I love both of those actors.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yes, great movie.
A whole lot.
All right, so are we ready to wrap this up?
I am ready to wrap this up.
People are probably tired of hearing me be dumb, which if you are, like, you're tuning in for like our 40th episode, so you shouldn't be tired of hearing that. Like, I've been dumb for 40 episodes, so. All right, so if you like this episode, remember to rate us, give us a 5-star rating and a review. It just helps with the algorithms on each platform, helps us get noticed. So if you like this, you know, help spread the word by giving us that rating, letting people know as well. If you want to reach out to us, we are available via most social media platforms.
Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and X.
Yes. We promise to respond to whatever you have to say. I was just communicating with a couple of people earlier who had a problem with us picking on Daniel's son on the Karate Kid episode.
Oh my goodness gracious.
They felt like we were just a little bit too hard on Daniel's son. Mm-mm.
You know, Daniel's son was a little too hard on Johnny.
I don't agree with that, but I do. Daniel's son was a little bit too hard on Mr. Miyagi who saved his life.
Yes.
So yeah, we'd love to hear from you. You can also reach us by email at childrenofthe1980s@gmail.com. We love to hear from our audience. So if you like us, spread the word.
If you don't like us, don't do anything.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can yell at us. You can reach out to us and tell us how much we suck.
Just don't waste your energy.
Do it on X. Cause I won't get offended. Lindsay will.
Yeah. I will get offended. Okay, well, until next time, I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Jim.
And we are
Children of the 80s.